in it for the kicks back in my day.
So, well, let me put some rhythm, a little bit more rhythm into the drums.
Yes, White Treble Black Bass. That was the first record I ever produced, the first one I ever bought out. Probably went through about 4 or 5 years of messing around with technology and getting enough money together just to afford like some really simple equipment. It's a long time ago. I think it was like 98 or 99 that I made the record. No, I think it was 98. I'd actually just moved out of home. I was living in Melbourne at the time, which is where I grew up, and I was renting a one-bedroom place in an inner-city suburb called Richmond. And I had my little setup, my studio setup, in the corner of my living room. It was a really small living room, so there wasn't much room to swing around in that studio, that's for sure. But I had the most simple gear you could imagine. I think I had an EU E4 sampler and one or two synths and a really cheap mixer. But somehow I managed to find a sample from an old Ray Parker Jr. track, which is the main hook that goes through that track. It's called For Those That Like to Groove, that's right. And I know it was kind of an accident. I was just messing around with a sample, loading things in, and I just came across that loop, and I had some drums already arranged, if I remember, and I just threw it over, and I don't know, it's just one of those things that just worked. It just fitted in with the groove perfectly, and it was the first time I actually started using filters over like disco loops and things, and as soon as I filtered that loop down, I knew that, well, it sounded amazing, and I could make a record out of this. But so that was the musical side, but I mean the vocal, the White Treble Black Bass line, actually from an ABC documentary that I was watching, something about the 50-year history of rock and roll music or something, and it was an interview with I think Berry Gordy, who I think was the head of Motown, and he was explaining the difference between white and black people and the way they perceive music and the way they react to music. And he was talking about white people, when they touch an equalizer, they turn up the treble, and then when black people touch the equalizer, they turn up the bass. And I heard that, and I just like, that's definitely something that I could use. So I ran a cable across the room from my sampler to the video cassette out, and I chucked it in and chopped it up and threw it over the top, and there we have it. White people turn up the treble, black people turn up the bass. And it was a really quick record to make. I think I probably worked on it for maybe like 3 or 4 days and then moved over to another studio just to get a more professional sound. But I eventually signed it to Vicious Vinyl, which is a very famous Melbourne label, now called Vicious. And yeah, it came out, it came out on Vicious Groove, which was their new house label that they just launched at the time. So I think it was the first or second release on Vicious Groove. It came out and it did really well. I got a lot of play on Triple J in Australia. A lot of DJs played the record, a lot of house DJs. And it eventually got signed to, I think, like 6 or 7 international labels as well. Neo in the UK and some other big labels throughout Europe. And actually went on to win an ARIA award for that record as well, which was the ARIA for Dance Release of the Year in 1998. So yeah, it was really, really rewarding, I guess, for my first single to do so well. Yeah, did get a lot of support on that record. I mean, it wasn't as easy to find out in those days, because there literally was no internet I'm sure there was, but it wasn't in every household. I certainly didn't have the internet when I made that record, but Pete Tong was a big supporter of it. I know that for a fact. And actually Carl Cox was another one who played it a lot. There was a Trevor Rockwit remix that was on the Neo UK release, and he was a huge supporter of that, and made it a bit of an anthem in the UK and in Ibiza, I believe. But yeah, the Sergeant, the White Trail Black Bass record definitely kind of opened a lot of doors for me with the success that it had, and also winning the ARIA Award. I mean, I was DJing at the time, but I certainly wasn't, like, you know, winning any awards for the most gigs or the best gigs. But that definitely opened a lot of doors for me, that record, and I started playing interstate a lot. Yeah, I mean, the name Sergeant Sleeker was just something that I had to throw together at the last moment. I had Andy Van from Vicious on the phone saying, all right, we're going to press the vinyl today. We need a name, and I hadn't even thought about it. So I was sitting at a desk, and I had a Sister of Funk CD on the desk, and I opened it up, and there was a guy with a big afro in there, and I thought, well, he looks pretty slick. I'll call it Slick. And Andy's like, nah, it's too simple. You need something. You need another word, another S word. And I think I had another magazine with a police sergeant on the cover. And I'm like, oh, Sergeant Slick, that's it, it's done. And that's how I got that name. Really doesn't mean anything. It's just one, two words together. It sounded pretty cool at the time. But it's kind of stuck. And I've made quite a career out of that that production name, as well as, you know, working on a lot of different other names. But I'm still releasing records as Sergeant Slick. I'm probably up to about 20, 25 releases now under that name, and I'm going to keep going with it. And there you go. That's the story of White Trail Black Bass.
The first ever electronic music show on Howrecky. This is In It For The Kicks. 10 till midnight Friday nights. Radio Home.